This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let's go to Chestnut Hill. Jeff Hafley joins us. The head coach of the Eagles is here. Nice win last Friday night against Virginia Tech. Sidebar, Phil Jurkovec back in the lineup. Everything seemed to go just swimmingly. What's this week been like in preparation for going to Georgia Tech on Saturday afternoon?
Well, first of all, before I start, congratulations on the 500th show. I wish somebody had told me, and I would have snuck in and put on a suit and tie.
Please don't.
But I know we joke a lot, but seriously, I remember the first time I was on this show, I didn't even know which way was up. You guys have been awesome to me. You've been a lot of fun to be around. I appreciate that. And you guys do an unbelievable job with this show, and I appreciate you always having me on. Oh. As far as the game last week, it was nice to get Phil back. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I certainly did not. It's a credit to him. He wanted to play. The doctors cleared him, and I don't know if that necessarily meant that, Phil was totally ready to play in the game, but you want to talk about tough and what that kid did in the game and how it lifted up our football team. That was a really cool moment for us, and now that he's actually getting practice reps, so we're excited to get him out there for Georgia Tech on Saturday.
All right, that leads to the only question as a follow-up, and that is this, Coach. Who's your starting quarterback Saturday?
Yeah. Well, I said it. We had Wes do our Louisville game, which was awesome. We finally got him, and he saw Phil warming up, and I read something. He was calling the return of Phil before they even cleared him.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
We're going to go with five this week. I'm not going to play any games. We're going to start Phil, and I feel confident in saying that.
I got to tell you, because it's kind of a running joke on the show. I said, if I've ever coached, and I have never been a coach, never going to be, but if I was a head coach, I wouldn't tell the media anything. If somebody ever asked me a question about a starter, I'd pull Bill Belichick and go, well, we'll just have to find out when game time. But I saw your post-game press conference, and you kind of almost were apologetic, saying, hey guys, I wasn't trying to hold anything back. Here's how the whole thing unfolded, and I give you props for that, because I'm sure there were a lot of people going, well, he knew the whole time. He had to know the whole time Jurkovec was coming back and going to start in that game.
Yeah, I like our media. They're really good guys, and the one thing with all media, I just try to be honest, and I really don't try to deceive anybody or lie to them. I think that's important, and it's who I am, and I kind of felt bad. I mean, there was one point in the week where I thought Emmett was going to start, and then later in the week, we were playing on a short week, Phil came in and said, I'm playing, and when Phil tells you he's playing, and you look him in the eye, and you see the look he has, and who am I to tell him he's not going to play? I mean, he was ready mentally, and that's all I needed to hear from him. I wasn't going to push him to. I just wanted to explain that to the media and be real with them and, leave it at that.
Hey, Coach, what does it do for the team, though, when they see him return? And they're not just there for the game. Obviously, they're going through the practices. They know what his ability is. They know what his ability was before he got hurt. And then they see the journey to make the comeback. In what way do you think it energized your team last Friday night just to have the guy out there taking snaps? Whether he completes a pass or doesn't dive in the end zone for a score, just his return must count for something.
Yeah, the return was huge, and not just for the offense. When I tell you the defense had no idea that he was ready to come back and we were going good versus good in practice late last week and they saw Phil under center, it was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? It was like we hit the reset button and we were starting a fresh season. And when they saw Phil run and jump and dive into the end zone with no regard of his hand, I could just feel the whole sideline stand up like, all right, here we go. I mean, this is going to happen. Put the four games behind us and we're ready to roll. He is fearless and our guys follow him. I mean, he made us all feel good.
Coach, we're sitting here talking about Jurkovec and rightfully so, but your bread and butter is on defense. And watching that game Friday night, I mean, it felt like you kind of took the life out of Virginia Tech. I mean, they couldn't complete a pass, 73 yards passing. I mean, your guys were all over the place. And you talked about that energy, not only amongst your team, but I think, Red Bandana Night, it was a special night for a lot of reasons. But how about the job your defense did Friday night? Because they were all over Virginia Tech.
Yeah, they were. And it's really been that way this year. And I'm proud of the defensive staff. Tem's doing a great job. The players are executing at a high level. And, guys, we've had some serious injuries. We're without four starters the last few weeks on defense. But these kids are playing relentless. They're tackling. They're flying to the ball. They're playing with good fundamentals and technique. And they're kind of playing with a chip on their shoulder. Because, truthfully, to start the year, no one wanted to talk about the defense. No one wanted to talk to the defense. It was offense, offense, offense. And I'm good with that. But we challenged the defense this year, and so far they've responded, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
All right, so the challenge on Saturday afternoon, here's Georgia Tech, who's going through a gauntlet in their schedule. I mean, you know that. You can look on paper and see that the back end of their schedule is really, really loaded. You guys come in, the return of the quarterback. What's your concerns about the Jackets and you know they're trying to get out of this little drought for sure.
Yeah, they're explosive. And Gibbs and Sims, I mean, those guys can seem like they can score at any single moment. I think Gibbs should be talked about a lot more than he is. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he is the best and most explosive back that I've seen on tape this year. And I'm surprised nationally he's not talked about more. I mean, anytime that guy touches the ball, he has a chance to go for a touchdown, and they throw it to him out of the backfield. So you better know where he is on every single down.
So we're coming down the stretch. You got a bunch of home games coming up. Man, the weather's going to turn nice and crisp up there in Boston. You know, you're sitting there on the cusp of a bowl bid. All right, so we're coming down the stretch. You talked about all the injuries. Everybody's kind of banged up and nicked up at some point in time here. So what's the mindset in terms of finishing and closing this thing off and getting to a bowl?
Well, we told the team, people remember November, and that was a big theme when I was in the NFL. That's the important month, and what can we do in November? You know, we kind of hit the reset button and we got to keep pushing through. I want to see us score more points, continue to play great defense. I know you joked about the weather, but it's like 75 degrees here today, which is unbelievable. The trees, the leaves are beautiful. There's no better place to be right now other than Boston. We got Pat Kraft walking around in a t-shirt. He's ready to go. He's all fired up. There's a lot of energy here. And if you guys saw the game, our student section was packed. Yeah. It was loud. This is a great place to be right now, and I know there's been some disappointment, but I'll tell you this, guys. I've learned more about myself as a head coach going through that four-game stretch than I did over any of those wins. You find out who you are in hard times. You find out what type of coach you are. You find out what type of team you have, and I'm damn proud to be the head coach of this team because this team doesn't quit. They don't listen to outside noise, and I just can't wait to finish the season.
I got to – just out of curiosity here more than anything else – how much do you think last year's helped you this year? Because you were as successful in year one against all odds of just getting something on the field and having success when nobody else seemingly dealt the same cards were. How did you do it, and how much has it helped you now?
Well, I think it helped us build our culture. I think it helped us become tight. And I think you bring up a really good point. It helped us get through that really hard stretch that we did, because our team's close and because these kids do love each other and because these kids trust the process that, you know, it's about getting better every single day and it not always about the result. There was no pointing fingers. There was no hanging heads. Last year brought our team closer together. And in my first year, as hard as it was, I'm glad it happened because this team is tight, really tight.
You know, you mentioned the emotion of Friday night. And I remember watching the game and your post-game interview. It moved you, didn't it? I mean, I could tell that you were, hey, winning the game is obviously the most important thing, but in some respects, it wasn't the most important thing given the culture. When you talk about the student body was jacked up, ready to go, the red bandana night, team played well, it's a Friday night. I could tell that meant a ton to you, personally.
It did. It meant a ton to me, but more importantly, it meant a ton to our team. Playing in the red bandana game, playing for Wells, playing in front of that crowd, and then even more, just sticking together and battling through that struggle. Struggles make you strong if you can conquer them, and that's what our team did. And all the emotion kind of came out of the hard times in those 4 weeks and everything that was going on in the stadium. And I was just so happy for the players and for the staff. And you could feel it in the locker room. Honestly, it was one of the best moments since I've been the head coach, and I look forward to having more like that.
Congratulations. We love having you on the program, and you're doing great stuff, man. And with your COVID back, you know, you can go back to throwing it 75 times a game instead of running it 75. Even though I believe, Coach, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not mistaken. I saw some stat this week that when you run it more than 50% of the time, you're 8-0.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why you're throwing it 75 times.
Jeff, here
that's
we go.
Just me.
Are you serious with the guy? Seriously,
Whoa.
Seriously. This
Hold
guy.
On a second. If that stat is true, I'm going to go talk to Coach Cignetti. But you guys think I like running it 40 times a game? I mean, we'll see what happens. I got to go check that stat out.
Yeah,
but let's throw it 80 times. Come on, man. Let's go.
Let it rip. Hey, if it's at 75 degrees in Boston, baby, we're going to throw that bad boy. That's what we're doing.
How about every morning I sit here with the pocket offensive coordinator? How about the guy I work with here, huh? How about this? Calling your plays for your team. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Coach, no disrespect. I've never lost a game. Ever. Ever.
Hey, Halfley, here's the deal. He will park his big rear Saturday morning at what, 10?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. He does not move till 2 in the morning.
I watch
watches
film.
Watches everything.
I watch everything. I know everything.
Unbelievable.
Well, give me a call if you got any plays you want us to put
in.
No. 500, your 500 show. Shoot me a text. Give me a call. We'll see if we can add it in.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'll be checking you guys out this way. If I see something I don't like, I will give you a call.
Oh, gosh. Right? Oh,
I will give
goodness.
You a call.
Stop
halfway.
It. No. No. Good luck in Atlanta on Saturday. We always appreciate
it.
No, you're not offering
I want one more
play.
Thing.
What?
I want one more thing.
What?
Make sure Pat Kraft is not wearing a T-shirt on game day Saturday. All right, just do me a favor.
We'll put him in a sweater vest and with a T-shirt underneath it.
That works.
And we'll see what he can do.
He can wear the eye black, but no T-shirt.
I appreciate it, guys. Congrats again on your 500 show.
Thanks,
cool to be a part of it. You guys are awesome, and I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Keep up the great work,
Jeff Halfley. Holy cow. You're the best. Coach at Boston
Thanks,
College.
Guys.
What are you doing?
I mean, what am I doing? We're hosting the show.
You run it at other times. You're 8-0.
What? I'm just reading stats. Hey, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. And then he doubles down and says, you see something you like, let me know.
I had Gary Barta yesterday.
How'd that go?
It went great. He said, you know, maybe you ought to be on the committee one of these days. I said, you let me know. I'd do that in a millisecond. I'll tell you what, I'd have Michigan State in front of Michigan, though. I'd be voting that way. Head-to-head matters, Wes.
By the way, Saturday afternoon, Grant Field, Bobby Dodd Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia. Hello again, football fans. Georgia Tech's final ACC game.
How about that?
Jackets, you see it, 2-5 in the league, 3-6 overall.
Pretty tough non-conference schedule to close it off, though, isn't it?
Where's the layup been during the year?
We knew before the season started it was going to be tough.
At Notre Dame and then number one Georgia the Saturday after Thanksgiving for clean old-fashioned hate. There's a look at where the Jackets find themselves. FPI gives Georgia Tech a 62% chance to win Saturday?
Huh, FPI, huh?
Excuse me?
That's good news for Boston College.
Holy cow.
It's great news for BC.
I thought that'd be close to 50.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
In celebration of show 500, Fuller's taking all of my legroom away.
Well, you got to understand, the boys are in a little trauma given the accident or the explosion that happened literally right down our street.
By the way, we're burning the back end of the November budget. We're trying to get live pictures from the top of the hill. Yeah, we're trying to get our ACC network cameras up there, get a live look. Well, there was another competing television station with their big, you know, live-action news truck sitting up there. And I was thinking, well, let's see if we can get an ACC network camera up there, so we'll see what we come up with.
It was serious. I'm telling you.
It was a big boom, you
I
said.
Felt the earth move there
a big
for
boom.
A second. Well, it was crazy this morning.
I'll tell you this. You thought either, A, something bad had happened, or the president was in town based on the activity.
No, I mean, they cut
6:20 this morning.
Yeah, you could not get down the street.
No.
They were not letting anyone in or out.
No, sir, Mr. Durham.
They'll get you out.
Yeah.
Just give me a call.
Oh, okay. How about if I just take you up there as my
No, I'm not leaving.
Emissary.
I'm not allowed to leave the baseball. I got my ACC Network ankle bracelet back on. They won't let me leave the building.
All right. Let's go conference cuts here. And this has been fun for us to – we get the coaches, obviously. But also fun to hear the player interviews. Some things have been said in this. Tyler Van Dyke's been walking it.
Yep, sure
right?
has.
Sam Howell, much more of a politician. At times, when asked this week, what makes Kenny Pickett so good?
have a lot of respect for Kenny. You know, I think he's a phenomenal player. He does a lot of things really well. You know, I think the main thing I really like about him is how decisive he is. He gets the ball out of his hands, and he has a true understanding. He has a great understanding of the offense they're running, and you know, you can just tell he has a great understanding of the game, and that's just something I've kind of learned from watching him. So I have a lot of respect for Kenny, and he's having a great year. So it's fun. It's fun to watch him, and it's going to be fun to, you know, go out there and battle with him on Thursday night.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a blast to watch these two play.
About 3 dozen NFL guys will be there too, just in case you need to wonder how high the quality of QB play.
You got that right.
Phil Jurkovec asked this week in preparation for Georgia Tech, when you got injured at UMass, did you think your season was over?
I did. I was giving it a little bit of time, trying to be patient with it, because the doctor did say that there's a chance that I could come back for a couple games. But after I heard that, though, the way it was sounding was like, yeah, I'm probably going to be done.
And when you were working your way back, about how many weeks before you played Friday night did you think you'd be back? I mean, in your head, like, I can play. I can play with 3 games, 2 games, whatever.
I think it was 2 weeks before the game. I was at the doctor's, and he was just noting how well it was healing. So there we met and talked about kind of the stages. But it was still up in the air because a lot of it just came down to the way I was feeling. The bone was healing well, but if I was going to have movement in my wrist and be able to throw the ball. So probably then the week before, so the week after I met with the doctor, we started ramping things up. So I was thinking, yeah, I'm coming back. I just don't know when.
Well, Dr. Oz there for you from Phil Jurkovec.
It's great seeing him back, though. Man, oh. I know Virginia Tech didn't love seeing him back.
No, sir.
But, man, for BC, you just heard Coach talking about the energy level across the board.
Yep.
Could be a good game.
Ja'Cory Roberson is next, one of the more talented receivers in the ACC. After a disappointing loss at Chapel Hill, what's it like to hop right back into the middle of that fire? Another rivalry game with the Wolfpack coming on Saturday night.
All right, yeah, I think that game's behind us. UNC Chapel Hill, I think that's behind us now, and you know, we're focused on, you know, NC State now, and you know, it's good playing those rival games, and you know, it's exciting. You know, it's going to be a full crowd, but you know, you just got to play. You just got to focus, lock in, and know your assignment, and be assignment sound, and you know, on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to talk about offense, but you just got to have focus throughout all 4 quarters, you know, and then know that every play and every snap matters, and you know, and it starts from practice, and then you know, you translate it over to the game. So it's good to get back out there Saturday and then have another opportunity, you know, to do it again, and you know, just to be back out there and prove yourself every week. You know, it's just a blessing to be back out there another week.
Well, as I suspect, that gentleman right there will be nominated for Wide Receiver U for the 11th consecutive week. He makes plays every single week. He and Sam Hartman have been some kind of combination.
Yep, right about that. Next up, Tallahassee. Kier Thomas grew up in Miami, now gets a chance to play in the Florida State-Miami rivalry. His thoughts.
This is why you come to Florida State, play games like this, man, And this was one of the games that I had circled this year, you know, being from down there and just got a chance to come to Florida State and play against those guys. You know, this is a game we're going to remember for the rest of our lives, you know what I'm saying? Talk about forever. Just from me being down there, you know what I'm saying? I mean everything to me.
You know, I liked what Manny Diaz told us yesterday. This game's personal, right? Kids know – everybody knows everybody in this game. This is one of those neighborhood games. You know what? It's anytime you say Florida State, Miami, it's go time, man.
Yeah. Well, this week's reigning champion of Wide Receiver U, Avante Williams, got the microphone yesterday in Coral Gables and was asked, what does he know about FSU?
We don't like FSU. We're going to beat FSU. That's all we worried about. That's the main focus, beat FSU.
So. I'd like to follow. Do you mean that the object is to win that? I mean, yeah, it's like I said, it's personal. It's Florida State, Miami. Don't like them. We're here to beat you. End of story. Any other follow-up questions? No.
Oh, man.
Tell you what, though, man. Oh. Miami is playing as well as between anybody.
Between Thomas and Avante Williams, you think they'll be ready to go?
There is no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, get Chief Osceola out here with the spear. It's awesome. Now get out of the way. Let's go play football.
Right.
But there is nobody in this league right now, this moment, playing better than Miami, in my opinion. Oh, NC State's playing complete complimentary football. Wake's been terrific. Pitt's doing their thing. But I don't think anybody wants to see Miami right now on the schedule. Given the swagger and everything that they've got going on right now, they're balling.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I ask this question to every student athlete. During your career at Florida State, at Wake Forest, Boston College, at the University of Louisville, what has been the hardest class?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
It's a tough question.
Ooh. My most difficult report.
I try to pride myself on being a pretty good student.
Not even close. I took honors organic chemistry my first semester in college.
The hardest class I had at Clemson was a music class.
I had a public policy class last semester that really hurt me.
Beethoven and I don't know.
I had to do so many papers, and the papers would be real long. I don't know what you could talk about for 10 pages.
I decided to take like an astronomy class for some odd reason.
I really enjoyed AP chemistry in high school, and I had convinced myself coming in that I was going to be a chem major. And organic chem quickly decided that I wasn't going to be a chem major.
I did good, mom and dad. I did good in the class, but it worked me.
You know, all those old, like Mozart,
Tchaikovsky,
stuff like that.
That kind of thing? Beethoven?
Yeah, exactly. Tchaikovsky. That name just rung a bell.
Mozart,
yeah.
You're thinking astronomy. You're thinking the Big Dipper, right? The North
exactly,
Star.
Right.
You're thinking solar system, right?
I'm going to cringe if you answer this the way I think you might.
I had to say Spanish.
I would have to say Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah. Spanish is not, in my opinion, the hard. I took 3 years of Spanish at Louisville.
I'm not going to lie to you. Probably Spanish.
And I know it.
I know one of my other teammates said that, and I didn't want to say that, but it's true.
My freshman algebra class was the hardest for me.
Probably this calculus course that I'm in right now.
My finite math class.
Stats for business.
It would have to be math 15, 25, or 26.
And it just hit.
We ain't use much numbers in the math class.
I just felt like the whole math was just in a different language.
Being in that class, like,
this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I just lost the ability of math after high school.
Only because I had to teach myself.
You had to teach yourself. What's the story there?
What? Whoa, what?
Well, info classes, they're online, so you have to teach yourself the math.
Hey, Durham, how about that deal? Wes Durham is notorious on this show for having issues with math, algebra, calculus, whatever the case may be.
Math was my Achilles in the worst possible way. As a three-time attempter at finite math, math would be the downfall of a lot of people, my man. It's a long, sorrowful tale about me and math, but calculus, man, I just shudder thinking about that.
My hardest course was definitely econ.
Econ 101.
Don't look forward to Charleston, the economist, in the future.
Now, come on. Let me tell you, econ's easy. I'm just going to tell you for future consideration, I was an economics major. So you're talking to an econ major right here. You know, I was an econ guy at Clemson. And if you got some issues, I'm a phone call away to help you out on that. So if I can ever be of help.
Charles, no. There'll be no calling Packer.
You work on my hair, I'll work on your econ. We'll be good to go. All right? Is that a fair deal?
Got to.
All right.
Don't forget, women's basketball this Sunday. Sunday best is a double dip. How about Notre Dame Syracuse at noon? Huh, is that early enough in the year? Neil Ivey, Vaughn Reed hooking up in the ACC?
I like it.
My gosh, where's the run-up? And then Florida and NC State, Wes Moore's team at 2 o'clock. Noon and 2, Sunday best, ACC women's hoops right here on ACC Network. So there we go. Hardest class.
It's amazing how that question, which was literally off the top of my head
right
when we first started the show, has just now kind of evolved into our go-to question.
And very popular.
And the answers, the thing that's so cool about that question is that the answers are all over the place.
Yeah.
And Joey Baker proved that again this morning.
Organized terrorism.
How about that?
Welcome back to the Packer and Durham 500. Thanks again to Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall for the chapeau in the jerseys.
And by the way, Virginia is not done loving on Packer and Durham. I just saw a note from Carla Williams.
Wow.
Director of Athletics. Give us a little shout out. How about that? Appreciate that. Virginia is going to be number one in accounting next week.
In your accounting, yeah. Pat Narduzzi's team takes the field against North Carolina tonight. Panthers and Tar Heels, we're expecting a good one here. Killer capture. If that's not Pat Narduzzi's motto, we don't know what is, in case you missed it.
There's only one we'd like is the kill mode. And again, let's not let anybody get it wrong. It's, you know, it's either go after the quarterback or are you worried about containing him. And Sam Howell is a tremendous athlete, obviously tremendous quarterback. He can hurt you with his arm. He can hurt you. I mean, he's like Larry Zonka. I know, you know, a lot of listeners out there don't know who Larry Zonka is, playing quarterback. I mean, he's, people are bouncing off him. He's a guy we're going to have to get on the ground. And again, we got to go get after him. We can't sit there and worry about containing him in the pocket or he'll throw for 700 yards.
All right, so therein lies the rub here for the old defensive coach, who is a head coach but probably still got a lot of defense in him. You got two gunslingers in here Thursday night. You got to stay in front of them, right? I mean, they're going to be trying to do the same thing to Kenny Pickett that you're trying to do to Sam Howell. Keep the guy in front of you because they're playmakers really on both sides. They go about it in different ways. But, man, two quality guys taking snaps, Coach.
No doubt about it. I mean, you got two quality, you know, offenses, period. I mean, you got two top 10 offenses that are going head to head, and it's really going to come down to who plays better defense, I think, because Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett are tough to stop.
What has your week been like? We were just talking about this leading off the show. Steelers played last night, Monday night. You guys share a facility, which is awesome. You have a Thursday night game. It's a big deal. We're into November. You control your destiny. A short week is always difficult, but does it get crazier when the Steelers play on a Monday night, or is that a non-factor?
I haven't seen them. All I see is Jaguars and all kinds of different cars in the parking lot. You know, they leave them there and they head over to the hotel. We really haven't seen them. There's been no conflict at all. You know, and there never is, to be honest with you. I mean, there's never a conflict. I mean, we got our fields, they got their fields, you know, indoor facilities. You know, they never want to go in it because their players love the grass and don't want to be on the turf. So that's not an issue at all. It's just time. And, our coaches have done an outstanding job of trying to get the kids ready, the game plan ready in a short time. I mean, we spent very, very little tape on the Duke tape. You know, you didn't go back and make many corrections. You know, each position maybe had 5-7 plays. It was like moving on to the next. But trying to get game planned for North Carolina on offense, defense, and special teams in a short period of time is tough. And then getting that information to your kids is even tougher.
All right, so the challenge then becomes processing as much as it does reps at this point, I'm guessing, right? The board work, the film, the identity, making sure you got your calls, things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's all those things, making sure our guys know tendencies. I mean, you're looking at, you know, different things on the defensive line. What do they do? When are they moving? I mean, there's so many little tiny things that go into a good game plan, not just, you know, oh, this is where we line up, this is where they line up, okay, let's battle. It's a heck of a lot more than that for us. I know that. And there's a ton of details that we love to get. We love to have the time to get it done that you struggle to get it in, but we're gonna get it in somehow, some way. As coaches, we're going to find out what those details are that we need to get to our players so we can play at a high level.
From a health standpoint, everybody's nicked up this time of year, Coach. How are you guys coming down the stretch?
As good as anybody, I guess. I mean, you know, we're fine. You know, we've got a good roster. We've got guys that can play if someone goes down, and that won't be an excuse for anything Saturday. We got to go out and play. And we got to put a team out there on offense and defense and some guys to run down on that kickoff better than they did last week.
Quarterback play in this league. Now, you're blessed because Kenny Pickett coming back, as you said before the season started, oh, my God, it's like signing a 5-star guy who can flat out play, and he's had a phenomenal year. But, you know, you just saw TV dinner from Miami a couple weeks ago. He's now emerged as a star. You get Sam Howell this week. He's still got a Brendan Armstrong deal working out. I mean, it's crazy how good the quarterback plays in this league, isn't it, Coach?
Pack, you're exactly right. There is no other conference in the country that has the quarterbacks we have in the ACC. You know, it's not even close, I don't think. I mean, every week it's somebody else. I mean, and you mentioned Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, that, you know, we didn't expect that coming into the season, him be the guy, and all of a sudden he's the guy, and he's playing at a high level.
In that light, we sat in a production meeting before your first game, and you looked at Roddy Jones and said, hey, Roddy, what have we got to do? What has Kenny Pickett got to do to be regarded as one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC, if not the country? And I think Roddy said something like, Coach, he's probably got to throw more touchdown passes. Well, he's done that and all that much more. And to the point of the kind of season he's having, and we touched on this last week in our visit prior to your game at Duke, I think he's kind of changed the game for guys who use that extra year. Maybe this year, the extra year, or guys who might think they're a second or a third day pick. And Coach, you know this. He's played his way potentially into being the first quarterback taken in this thing next spring.
He really has. And, you know, everybody wants to rush their life away and, you know, go to the next level. And it's not always the best thing for kids to do. And I don't know if it'll change the landscape, because I think, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to go 3 years. They think it's better. But I just know this, when you take your time and you do things right, Kenny's a thinker. He's really smart. He's got an incredible family support with his mom and dad, Ken and Casey. You know, he's special, and I hope it makes an impact on our roster. I don't know if it matters anywhere else in the country, but I hope it makes an impact on our roster. It's like, if I stay another year, maybe I can do what Kenny did.
Hey, I know you're not going to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Because I feel like we got this kind of relationship.
Hey, get my coffee, please. No, I need a coffee for this one. I need my coffee.
You might need something stronger than
this.
Coffee.
Look, we're taking the coffee.
You might need something stronger than this, Coach. So I'm watching Wes on Saturday. He's got your game. And I'll be doggone. They tackle your guy for safety. And I thought I knew the rule.
Oh, no, really?
I couldn't believe they called that a safety. I mean, I know the guy got tackled back there. But I, you know, from week to week, I watch games, and I'll be doggone. Sometimes I don't even know what the rule is. So I'm just asking you.
Coffee ain't gonna be enough here, dudes. Coffee will not be enough.
EJ always tells me, take a deep breath before you answer tough questions. Hey, I don't know what a safety is anymore. I just know I'd like to have more cameras in ACC football. I can tell you that.
So, once again, like you did with Jeff Hafley, 8-0 when you run it 40 times or some crazy stat.
Here's the stat for Hafley. I told you I read this.
Well, then you put Narduzzi on the spot when you asked about safeties.
I'm not putting him on the spot. He was right. I said last week I thought it was a bad call. I didn't get any phone call from the ACC office.
I don't know your number.
Yeah, they do. Okay. They know where to find me.
All right.
Here's the stat. Under Jeff Hafley, Boston College is 8-0. When it runs the ball on 50% or more plays. 3-9 when it runs the ball less than 50%. Now, you're a math guy. What would you tell Jeff Hafley? Hey, dude, run the ball. The stinking ball.
Run the ball.
You never lost a game?
Yeah.
That's not a tough question. That's a guy doing his research asking the question.
And then you get Narduzzi on safeties.
You loved it. He loved it.
You're unbelievable.
He loved it.
Yeah, okay.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We couldn't do show 500 without Aaron Mattson.
No chance.
Right?
There's no chance.
And we deal with great student athletes. It's one of the things that I think is the most fun part of the show,
right,
is having a chance to interact with the student athletes and get to know them. And again, we see them play, their thing, but they get a chance to know them a little bit. But the Aaron Mattson's been not only spectacular as the athletic part, great student as well. We love having her on the show.
And now comes to us live from Iowa. Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, guys.
See, look at there. And Aaron Mattson joins us. Is there anything we need to double check here before we get going?
Yes. I want to know, first of all, Chapel Hill Tire. Everything good on the name, image, and likeness with Chapel Hill Tire? We're going to give them a shout out.
Yeah. Everything is great. Chapel Hill Tire and Chapel Hill Sportswear. Can't forget that one.
Oh, Holly Dedman. Yeah, no. Holly and the gang checking in,
yeah.
Huh? Okay, that's our people. I know Holly. Yeah. Good.
Oh, Holly's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, NIL's going well. Can't complain.
Okay. So, you know, I kind of feel like we're somewhat responsible. I mean, yeah, we know you're a really good player. Okay. But we're kind of somewhat responsible.
Oh, really?
For the marketing part of all this. What is going on? What is going on with our frozen yogurt? What's going on with the yogurt store?
I know. I got to get on them. I have to go. I have to go. I thought of you guys. I did.
Man, I mean, that is a really, it's a lose-lose proposition. Number one, you'd be a great spokesperson, number one. Number two, you love the product. Number three, what are they waiting on? I mean, you're the best of all time. That's a win-win deal.
I know. I feel like I need to bring you guys with me to talk me up a little bit.
You just let me know. I'll handle that for you if you need me. I don't want any cut. That's just too perfect.
Oh, right. That's what they all say.
Hey, Aaron, tell you something. It's on record. It's on national television. I don't want a dime. I want you to make as much money as you possibly can. That is a no-brainer deal.
Thank you.
That's what that is.
All right. So here we are. The road to the NCAA tournament starts in Iowa. You guys won another ACC tournament. Did it in a different fashion this year. I know you've been injured. Team had to develop a little bit. So this path does not seem as successful. But I'm going to believe that maybe you disagree, having been on the road with this group.
Yeah, no, I think we've changed a lot as a team over the season. We've grown. Like you said, it was a different type of way of doing it with all of the losses, and it's not necessarily how we wanted to. And Coach made a good point. You know, in past years, we had to remind each other of staying humble and you know, keeping that humility. But we kind of naturally had it this year because we started out with a couple losses. So the tournament was great. We came out with a lot of energy. And even though the regular season is important to set you up, the postseason is the most important. So we're just happy to kind of be feeling good right now and hopefully keep it going into this weekend.
Aaron, what was last week like not being the top seed, not being invincible, not being undefeated, having taken a loss or two in the league? I mean, what was that like to go to that event with the mentality of, hey, we got to win this to kind of lock in where we need to be next week?
Yeah, definitely different kind of having that underdog mentality this season. I haven't had to have that since, you know, putting on a Carolina jersey, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of nice. It's something different. It's a different year. It's a different team. And there are a lot of strong teams in the league this year. So I wouldn't say it was any less special or, you know, we had to work any harder because we have to work hard every season, but definitely a little different and going in with the underdog mentality. I don't hate it, but, you know, I prefer to be at the top. I think everybody can agree with that, but it doesn't mean you still can't get there.
You know, we normally are talking to coaches and players in football, and everybody's banged up and nicked up in November. that also holds true for field hockey. So with that said, how's the finger doing? How are we doing?
Yeah, finger's good. She has a little vest on. but, yeah, I guess it was a little more – I mean, there was a picture that went around. I think a lot of people have seen it. Pretty graphic. She's fine now, though. She's actually going to look like a finger. I was telling you guys, it's not as stubby as we expected. I have a nail and everything. So it's honestly going to look normal after all of this, which is amazing after seeing what it looked like when it happened.
Aaron, you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. You've got a nickname, a little stubby. It sounds like it's like a pet. Like, I got my dogs in here. You're talking about your thing. I think that is a sponsorship opportunity.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I can't believe that we haven't gone after Band-Aid or some kind of Rite Aid or Walgreens or somebody coming off the hip for, I mean, you're
true.
The best player on the planet. And, you know, we got a little injury there, and that's a sponsorship opportunity. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it. I know.
See,
I should get on that, but
again, 0%. I don't want a dime. I want you to get all the cash. I want you getting all the cash.
Thank you. Yeah, as long as this is recorded,
it is. You got it.
All right. So, how does the mentality? We talk about the composition of this particular team, and I know you and Coach Shelton probably have these conversations about chemistry and confidence and all sorts of things that go into being successful. And I think one of the reasons you and her and the program is an interesting study in leadership and success is because of the differences every year. there is some youth playing in big positions here, some younger players who are going to take on bigger parts now with the national tournament. So what changes? What's the mentality like knowing now there is a finality to this? It is either win or go home once you start against Northwestern this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's super important that the, you know, younger girls and less experienced girls kind of realize that it's one game left and that's it. But I think we've spent a long time this season, you know, building them up, teaching them. They're growing and learning super fast, as we expected. They're all great players. So I have no doubt that they'll be able to step up even more than they already have. And postseason's kind of the time where you just throw everything you can and leave it all out there. So I have full confidence in them. I think they have been building their confidence throughout the whole season. They're familiar completely with how we play now, and they can kind of just go out there and step up. And I think even me being out with my pinky injury helped the team a little bit in that sense. People stepped up, assumed roles, and you know, helped with the leadership. So I think we are better off that, you know, I had to take some time away, and then the younger players are just doing amazing, and I really have a good feeling about the postseason for them.
Aaron, I meant to ask you this, and it just dawned on me when you were answering that question. When I watched the national championship game against Michigan, it got a little testy. I mean, you're playing for a championship. I mean, everybody's competitive. We want to win. I get it. But is there trash talking normally in field hockey?
No. Not for me, or at least if anything, it's like to myself, you know, like I'll just mumble something to me. That usually does not happen. And that's why I think it was kind of funny when it did, because, you know, I'm very stoic normally and don't really let that stuff affect me. So I think when I did talk to the Michigan player, it was definitely out of the ordinary, but usually it's just to me or, you know, our teammates saying stuff to each other, but nothing really like trash talking, I would say.
Well, let me tell you something. Not only am I not charging you for any name, image, and likeness opportunities, but I'm also a professional lip reader. And when that happened, I made a note that the next time we have you on the show, I was going to ask you a question about trash talking. So I'm glad to know that normally the ladies, you know, dignified, we go about our business, we're professionals here, we go about, so I just wanted to know from the best of all time. But I appreciate you setting the record straight.
Yes, thank you.
All right, here's our last thought. I know you did this earlier in the fall, and I've kind of been told that there will be another year of Aaron Mattson greatness, potentially at Carolina. We'll see how that goes. I want to ask you this question. I know you got Jones Angel in full field hockey goalie gear earlier this fall. I've seen the video. I've seen the uncomfortable look on Adam Lucas's face when you wound up and zipped one at Jones. Packer is all about kind of, you know, doing things and being a part of stuff. A, do you think we could get him in the gear? And B, I don't want you to let up like you did on Jones. I want you to, you know, really kind of craft one at him. Do you think that would be of entertainment value to you?
Before,
to him.
Before you wait. Before you answer that question, remember I'm your agent. So go ahead.
Oh right. Okay. Well, I'm glad we have some time before this happens so I can think about how we go about this. But no promises that I will hold back. But yeah, we definitely can get you in some gear. I think that would be hilarious. I know Jones crushed it, so we'll see how you do.
I would be open to do that, except there could be a Michelin. Again, I know you're Chapel Hill Tire. If I dressed up in that gear, that might look like the Michelin man. I don't want there to be any conflict of your monetary value up and above an additional year at North Carolina. So keep that in mind before answering your question. Yeah. I'm good.
Good to know.
Money's not coming out of my pocket. I'd be willing to do that.
Aaron, all I can tell you is 2 years ago, he said he wanted to drive the ATV at the cross country championships, and it happened.
That's right.
And now I'm teeing him up to take shots against you in field hockey gear. I think we've got another.
I love how you're the one offering him up. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Real team player, right, Aaron? I mean, you know, if you had that kind of chemistry on your field hockey team, you'd be on the couch watching everybody play this weekend.
Hey.
Right? That's how it works.
Aaron, don't ever forget, big team, little me, right? There we go. Hey, good luck. Always great to catch up with you. Stay well. Tell Coach Shelton we said hello. Good luck, okay?
I will. Thank you, guys. Congrats on 500 also, and I'll be getting you your third natty stick. Don't you worry. It's still in the making.
Oh, I like it. Let me
we
tell
didn't
you
forget
some.
About you guys.
Let me tell you something. I've been scratching my back with the other two. They're kind of getting worn out. I need that third one. In fact, I wouldn't mind a fourth one if you know what I'm talking about.
Now getting greedy again.
I
wouldn't mind a fourth one.
Yeah, you, yep. I'm with you.
All right. Aaron Mattson, North Carolina Field Hockey, on the road in Iowa. They meet Northwestern tomorrow in opening round play of the NCAA Field Hockey Championship. Great to see you. Thanks as always.
You too. Thank you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.